You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Friday morning, November 7th, 7:06 the time right now. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Our Week in Review panel is coming along in just a matter of minutes with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. Coming up an hour from now, we will be talking to Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Forward podcast here on Civic Media. And then Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to help us preview the weekend in sports. And, of course, along the way, we'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app to call us or text us or send us a voice note along the way or put a comment in the sections of YouTube and Facebook. We are in the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages right now. You can watch us doing the show, and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. You can watch... Well, you can watch me prattling along with the temperatures here. Here they are now. Wautoma is the low spot in the state, 32 degrees right now. In La Crosse, Oshkosh, Richland Center, you're all at 45 at this hour. It's 39 here in the Chippewa Valley. It's 41 in Wausau. And in Hayward, Ashland, and Superior, we are at 43 degrees right now. But what about Tigerton? Well, Rob writes in from YouTube. Good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 39 degrees. He said yesterday he worked on his paperwork for mowing season, sending out the bills, and last night had a great Philly cheesesteak sandwich at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. So there you go. And we, of course, have been talking about, along with Parker here, cheese curds, because in our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com, our daily newsletter from Ellie Bordeaux has some of your question or some of your responses to the question of where are the best cheese curds? And we're asking you this morning as well, and you've been sending in a lot of good answers to that. But in the newsletter this morning, I wanted to rattle off a few of them here, and then Parker's going to tell us where you get the good ones if you're at Whitewater or in Madison. Of course, Rob has mentioned Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill in Wittenberg plenty of times, and... Let's see. Ellen writes in on behalf of Rachel's Roadside, talking about the Christmas curds, a variation of cheese curds with some added sweet flavor. Let's see. There is, I want to get these in the right order here. There's Pine River Dairy in Manitowoc, where Margaret writes in, this humble dairy has squeaky fresh curds, as well as 50-cent ice cream cones. For anything dairy as well as the tastiest cheese curds, you have to stop in Pine River Dairy in Manitowoc. Everybody talks about Ellsworth. You can't talk about cheese curds without Ellsworth, because you'll find Ellsworth cheese curds everywhere. They have fresh, not frozen ones, Green writes in, that squeak. There's also the Feltz Dairy in Stevens Point. Karen says their dill variety is my personal favorite. And a side note, for reestablishing that classic squeak and pull after you get home, the cheese master at Feltz taught us to just microwave 2 to 3 of them for about 7 seconds. Well, that's actually my shortcut too, but not with the fresh ones. You don't need to do that. They squeak nicely. And they will the next day. And by the way, you keep these at room temperature. And then the day after that, like you said, about 7 seconds in the microwave, and now it's kind of the deep-fried cheese curds without the deep-frying. And it's ooey and gooey and delicious. I got one more here. Henning Cheese in Kiel. And Nicole writes in, this is a family-owned cheese factory. They work hard and serve their community. The cheese curds are amazing. Extra special if you toast them over a fire for a little while to make a savory s'more. Ooh. Hello. That's a new one.
Yeah.
All right. This summer, we picked up Henning curds on our way to bonfires, then popped them on the stick, toasted them. You can add summer sausage and a cracker if you want to, or just enjoy the melty, squeaky goodness. This show has now been worth it. An hour and 10 minutes into it. Whatever happens for the next hour and 50 is gravy. at this point, because we have learned that we can make a savory s'more with cheese curds and a little summer sausage. Oh my gosh.
I'm loving this.
I am digging this, Nicole. Thank you for writing that in for our newsletter. Again, you can get it at upnorthnewswi.com. Oh, Tony's writing in, blatantly ignoring Ashlyn, typical superior bias. Did I not say Ashlyn when I gave the temperatures? I said 43 and Hayward, Ashlyn, and Superior. Did I not?
I remember Superior and I remember Hayward. I'm not sure about Ashlyn.
Oh, so you're doing Tony's work for him too here. I was sure I said Ashlyn.
I'm afraid I'm not positive.
I'm afraid you weren't paying attention.
There's a chance.
I understand how that goes. All right. Now it's time to explain why my day yesterday was not nearly as productive as it could have been.
Oh. Was it my fault?
When was... No. Oh. And I somehow it was probably mine, but I still don't know how I did it when I caused a full-on computer crash. And I was not expecting that. Now, again, I'm not getting paid for the endorsement, but we're part of the cult of Mac over here. I got MacBooks, I've got iPads, iPhones, and the show is done on a big old iMac here on my desk. I've had it for a few years here. It's got the storage on it is 2 terabytes. 2 terabytes.
That's a lot.
Last I checked, which wasn't that long ago, I wasn't even to like 25% usage of it.
I would think.
So you can imagine, first, my frustration that things were going really slow for the past day or two. Really slow. It was really quite a little mystery. And then yesterday came the window, the warning window.
Uh-oh.
Warning, your disk is nearly full. What?
Uh-oh.
How?
That's not good.
How can this be? I looked, and sure enough, I kind of clicked on a little window and looked at it, and almost 2 terabytes of hard disk space was being used up. And I am absolutely, not quite panic-stricken, but I'm like, oh, this is going to take a while. So I had to go in and look at it and found that there were a lot of old files in there. And I think Tony is already on the right track when he writes in on YouTube. You got to make sure you're not copying iCloud documents or Google Drive files locally. And I'm aware of that. Not just iCloud and not just Google Drive and not just Dropbox, because I have that as well, but also an external hard drive. And I'm sorry for getting into the weeds here, but I know plenty of people use external hard drives as well to keep all of the old stuff. But at no point is it supposed to come back onto your local disk, your local hard drive. And I didn't have time because I'm in the middle of 10 other things. I still don't know if all those files came back onto my hard drive through something in the hard disk, from Dropbox, from iCloud, for Google Drive.
Yeah.
One of them did something. One of them vomited files back onto my local computer.
Sure.
And I don't know why. I just know I had to quickly put things in order of size and get rid of all the biggest files and just assume that they are copies from wherever and that somehow they got copied over. I don't think I've deleted anything permanently, but the fact of the matter is, even if I did, they're probably things I shouldn't have kept anyway after all this time. Sure. I mean, this is show number, hold on, I actually write it down every day. This is show number 682 since we moved to early mornings. Do I need the other 681 shows? No, but they're on an external hard drive someplace and they got copied over. So we'll see.
Huh.
We'll see. Tony also asks, you don't have Time Machine, do you? I did have Time Machine with my last computer, and I did not get Time Machine for this one because, again, I thought between the other external hard drives, Dropbox, Google, everything's good. It's all good. It's all in the cloud. The cloud. Done rained on me. The cloud opened up and said, have all your crap back. And now I'm cleaning out everything. Tony says, got to clean out that cache for Adobe programs too. And of course I use a lot of Adobe programs. Tony says, fun fact, YouTube stores those live shows too. Well, they do kind of, Tony, but if Google, which owns YouTube, decides that, we've played more than 8 seconds of a certain song or other licensing things,
that does that.
They just take it upon themselves to make a show disappear.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted this as a backup. So again, it's not a problem everybody has had. But it's a problem you might have at some point. So I want you to know that there are these possibilities for your hard disks to suddenly get all kinds of old friends returning, you know?
So I take
it's like
this...
a junk drawer. You pack a junk drawer enough and eventually the junk drawer just like bursts and spills everything around. And now you got to decide which things do you really have to keep and which ones should you have gotten rid of all along. And that's where I am with computer files.
So is your weekend now going to basically entirely be looking through files on your computer?
It's first going to involve trying to trace this and figure out where it came from. Did I accidentally... fix a setting someplace.
Sure.
Is it a case where both Dropbox and iCloud through Apple both said, your thing is almost full. Did I get too close to full? And they were just like, here, have all your stuff back. You know, I don't know. So that's what I've got to find out. And I appreciate Tony's words here. And of course, anybody else that wants to crowdsource this thing is very welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All right, let's talk a little sports here. Nothing that was going on last night. There's stuff going on tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are at home at the Fiserv Forum taking on the Chicago Bulls in the opening of the NBA Cup. Hey, Parker, do you want to hear all about the NBA Cup and how it is structured and all the details on why we should care about it?
Oh, gosh, golly, Pat. No.
No, no, you do not. Okay, good. I can carry on. All right, tonight we've got Badger men's basketball against Northern Illinois. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock on stations in Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Richland Center, and Ironwood, Michigan. Then on Saturday, the Badger football team is back in action against Washington. Coverage will begin at 1:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon as well. And let's see, we've got the Packers playing on Monday Night Football against the Eagles. Coverage will begin at 5 p.m. Monday on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. So now you are up to date on that. All right, I mentioned in our daily newsletter the fact that there's a question this week about cheese curds. And next week, I'm going to give you a preview. Oh, I really shouldn't. I should wait till Monday. Yeah, I'm going to wait till Monday. And we're going to find your favorite something else here, part of her Ellie's Locals Love section of the newsletter. So let's talk instead about our weekly newsletter. That one is conveniently called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com and get our question of the week. The question we asked last Sunday was, where will the economy be a year from now, right before the midterm elections, which will definitely, the economy always plays a role. And if the economy is in a much better place, for all the talk that Democrats have been making this week, all the political hay they've been making about, oh, we've got Trump now, maybe not if the economy picks up and recovers. If the economy craters between now and then, and right now the data looks like that could very well happen, it will not be good politically. But then what if it's just this? What if this is it? We're just kind of slog along. We don't get much worse, but we don't get much better. Will people be okay with that and just accept it as the new normal? So you get to play the role of junior economist now and tell us, where do you think the economy is going to be a year from now? Now, if you want to know next week's question of the week before anybody else, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, and get our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow newsletter there. I am Pat Kreitlow, and I am from Up North News. And coming up next, we're going to be talking to Mark Jacob, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and Jennifer Schulze, our Week in Review panel, straight ahead. Live from the lake, thanks for making this a part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, here up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So in case you ever miss an episode, get over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to our show as a podcast. Last hour, we talked to my colleague Sean Kitchen from the Courier Newsroom Pennsylvania outlet, The Keystone, His story was all about how Pennsylvania candidates and voters were able to stave off a billionaire who was trying to flip three state Supreme Court seats. So head over to KeystoneNewsroom.com to learn more about that. Maybe you would like instead to learn more about the Gilded Age and state-sponsored terror. Well, for that, you got to go see what Jennifer Schulze has put together in her Substack column, Indistinct Chatter. Head over to Substack and search for @NewsJennifer. Then, of course, we're going to talk about the law here in just a sec, because, you know, elect a criminal, you're going to be in court a lot. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, can be heard Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on stations around the Civic Media Radio Network. And then we're really going to get into things with Mark Jacob, whose new column, Stop the Presses, which you can get at stopthepresses.news, has a column this week, 12 Helpful Terms to Understand American Chaos. So having set all that up, let's bring our Week in Review panel in here. That, of course, would be Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze. Good to see you all here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I think we got to start with Jim from the legal standpoint, because we did have a judge rule that the Trump administration could not make partial payments for SNAP. That would there's no mechanism for that. You got to make the whole thing, and the administration indicated they would, and the Evers administration indicated it would overnight last night make sure that those benefits are on people's cards so they could afford, you know, like groceries and things. So, Jim, tell us a bit more about what the judge decided, what they said, and then we'll get into whether and how the administration is going to comply. But what's the background?
That administration apparently calling this morning an absurd ruling. This comes from John McConnell. He is a district court judge. He is in Rhode Island. And he is the one who about a week or so ago, along with another judge in Massachusetts, had said, you got to find a way to make these funds available. Just yesterday, once again, he says, faced with a choice between advancing relief and entrenching delay, it, meaning the administration, meaning Donald Trump, and the Agriculture Department, chose the latter, an outcome that predictably magnifies harm and undermines the very purpose of the program it administers. He writes this in a 27-page order, lambasting the administration in ways big, small, and in between, and saying, get this done. The administration, once again, pushing back on this, promising to appeal, not answering specific questions about this. And once again, invoking this notion that somehow federal judges have no power to do these things. Our vice president saying, you try to keep telling us what to do and you've got no authority. Well, that's not the way the Constitution works. Mr. Vice President, again, the Attorney General has said that. And so we'll see. The fight goes on. A lot of people using the word limbo yet again this morning. And perhaps it is just because of the back and forth, the chaos about which you spoke, Pat, continues inside this program where people need food to eat. Just that simple.
And that's where I really want to see if the the Evers administration did come through, and what was the mechanism behind it? Was there like some overnight transfer or something? I'm kind of fearful, Mark, of a rude awakening later this morning that, you know, maybe the state put forward the money for this month's SNAP benefits, but now did not get paid from the federal government. And Ronald Reagan said it first about the Russians, but now we got to say it about our own president. Trust but verify.
I'm seeing one report that says that that what the governor's office said was that they would make the payments as long as the Trump administration did not request an emergency stay of the court's decision or if there was a vendor processing issue. Now, the Trump administration did appeal the ruling, but they didn't, as far as I know, Jim, ask for an immediate stay.
Right. I think that's the correct legal status. But again, the day is young.
Yeah.
And we know that John Sauer, who we heard from early in the week, trying to defend tariffs, he's got a machine there that will ramp things up and get to the Supreme Court if he feels the need to. He continues to use that, as we know, another aspect of this. Supreme Court just yesterday also giving the administration the go-ahead with respect to transgender passports and saying, no, I'm not entitled to properly identify yourself. That was, again, emergency appeal because, goodness, we've got to get that stopped right away, right?
So and you don't know, today. Mark, you don't know hour by hour what they're going to comply with.
Right? No, you don't. I mean, you know, what happened, to look at other issues in Chicago, the federal judge, told the Border Patrol people that they need to start following the law, and, yeah, and detailed case after case after case where they have violated her previous order. So yeah, they don't really care too much about the law. And one more thing on the SNAP benefits. Let's get reality check here. What we're talking about is a federal judge trying to get the president of the United States to stop taking food away from poor people. Right. That's what this is about. And can you imagine? I mean, just thinking about it, how insane that is.
No, because again, Jennifer, put a Democratic president in there. I mean, what a 5-alarm fire this would be. I just don't want to normalize a president needlessly, by the way. This could all end today and end the shutdown, but he's still telling people like Norm O'Donnell, oh, grocery prices are lower, when they're not.
He said it again yesterday in the Oval Office, or he said grocery prices are down. And anyone who's been to the grocery store knows that the president of the United States is lying. Grocery prices are not down. It is a stunning place that we're in across the board, but it comes back to a president that willingly, knowingly lies and violates the law. It's a remarkable thing.
Yes. And says, I alone will decide whether to release benefits. I alone will decide what your health insurance costs will be. I alone will decide if we can bomb boats in the ocean. And, again, we are relying on what I hope is not the archaic notion of courts and the rule of law to enforce some of the most basic things about American democracy. We will continue this conversation with our Week in Review panel, and then Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Forward podcast joins us right after 8 o'clock. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back at 7:35 on this Friday morning, November 7th. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, joined by our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze in the Chicago area. And I think even though we kind of talk fast sometimes, we cannot possibly get to everything. We got to react to the election. There's flight cancellations. There's what to do with the filibuster. Mark's got a great column on modern day political terminology. There is a big Supreme Court hearing about tariffs and whether Trump can do them. And Jennifer, we're going to start with you because there's also the military on the streets of Chicago, and whether that can be done and whether it's being done legally. What's the latest there?
Well, the judge, federal court judge Sarah Ellis, ruled yesterday. She continued her temporary restraining order against ICE after a remarkable court hearing. We have a lot of good journalists here in Chicago, and several of them were doing live as it happens posting of what she was saying in court. And she went basically line by line through all of the recent incidents in Chicago with tear gassing, with grabbing people, with crashing into their cars, and showed what Greg Bovino, the border boss, said in his taped deposition versus the actual video evidence or eyewitness testimony. And in every case, the government was lying, and the judge said so from the bench. And she ruled that they had to wear cameras, which she'd ruled before and they hadn't done. She ruled they, had to do two warnings before they threw tear gas, which she has said before and they haven't done. And it was just a remarkable day of seeing, the rule of law in action and accountability happening. Now, of course, we have to see if these guys follow her rules. They haven't been. So I'm not necessarily optimistic about that, but I thought it was an important day.
I think you got to lay that record out, because at some point, some of these people who are like crashing people into people's cars and things, I don't know if it's going to be a district attorney or someplace is going to try to have some measure of accountability for this. And you can't do that without a record. So at least we're laying out the record.
And Mark, Pat, if I can say, yeah, go ahead, Jim. That point cannot be overstated. I think sometimes people think the judges just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm reading some things in the Chicago Tribune. And in fact, I don't like them. So I'm going to go into court and announce these things. This is an evidentiary basis, as Jennifer just said. She's hearing from witnesses. She's seeing information. And as opposed to that, she's got these unadorned statements by Bovino saying, no, no, we're not doing any of this. This is evidence-based. This is going on in her courtroom. And she says in the end, it's difficult to conceive how an injunction, hers, requiring the government to comply with the Constitution could possibly be harmful. That's what she says, right? Mm-hmm. There is your lesson. There's your civics lesson. Yeah. Jennifer's got it spot on in terms of what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Mark, let's take this and everything else and lead into your column to help people understand just what is going on with this, you know, chaos that we've had for the past 9+ months. You've got a column at stopthepresses.news, 12 helpful terms to understand American chaos. We won't have time for all of them, but what was the idea behind this?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of terminology that gets thrown around, you know, on Blue Sky and various other places. And I think that a lot of people just are and me too, are befuddled by it. And so I just found like 12 things that people are saying that either or referring to that might come into play here. Like I imagine some of the listeners know what the Reichstag fire was, which is when in 1933, when the German parliament burned and the Nazis blamed the communists and immediately used as an excuse to abrogate all rights in the country and became dictators. And so a lot of people in the United States are waiting to see whether Trump does his own Reichstag fire, because he keeps on declaring emergencies where there is no emergency. Like in Chicago, for example, he's like saying, oh, it's out of control. It's not out of control. In fact, homicides are way down. But this idea of just inventing emergencies. So Reichstag fire is one. A French phrase, agent provocateur, is something that used to be talked about and maybe talked about again, which is when somebody joins a protest movement and starts being violent in order to give the authorities an excuse to crush.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing that around here.
Yeah. So again, Mark Jacobs' column, 12 helpful terms to understand American chaos. Go look for it at stopthepresses.news. So speaking of those emergencies, one of them has been about tariffs. And Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, there was a very widely watched or listened to, monitored U.S. Supreme Court hearing this week on it. And once again, we find ourselves saying, might we be seeing some cracks in the unity of the conservative justices and have them actually stand up for the rule of law? Or was it just a false alarm and they were asking some questions, but they're still going to come down on the president's side? Where are you after hearing the arguments about tariffs before the Supreme Court this week?
It is difficult to I have stopped predicting the Supreme Court ever since they decided that the presidents are, in fact, above the law, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, I was saying, no one's above the law. They said, yes, he is. That's from John Roberts. But we do have, for example, here's your quiz question. Who said this during the course of the hearing? Is it your contention? She's talking to the Solicitor General again, this guy named John Sauer. Your contention that every country needed to be tariffed, apparently that's now a verb too, because of threats to the defense and industrial base. She went on to say, I mean, Spain, France. I mean, I could see with some countries, but explain to me why as many countries needed to be subject to the reciprocal tariff policy as they are. That was Amy Coney Barrett, okay? That was not Sonia Sotomayor. They've had their own things to say, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elena Kagan. It appears that Neil Gorsuch has some problems with this. It appears that around the edges, maybe even Brett Kavanaugh may have some issues. And again, difficult to read the tea leaves, but if you had to decide, interestingly, they're having a decision conference today on a number of different things, probably deciding how this one's going to go. If they want to do something here, like the case involving voting rights, they should act quickly, depending upon how they come out of this. So it's an interesting disposition. 3 hours yesterday that included discussion among the ways about donuts and donut holes and pastry. They had a little bit of a levity along the way too.
Well, and again, such an important part about if Congress, you know, gives up some of its power to the executive branch, can they get it back?
Right.
Yeah. So this was all happening, Jennifer, in the wake of election results on Tuesday, where it was essentially a clean sweep. And in some cases, it may have been for some local reasons, but by and large, Jennifer, it was either was it about Trump overall? Was it simply a reflection of a bad economy? What's your own take on the overall message that voters sent from coast to coast on Tuesday?
It was both. It was, we do not like what Trump is doing and prices are too high. So it was affordability and Trump across the board. And it didn't matter whether it was New York or Virginia, the issues are the same. And this realignment that the pundits have been talking about for 10 plus months about how young men particularly and Latino voters shifted dramatically to Trump in the 2024 election, that is wiped out. Particularly the Latino voter thing. Latinos went dramatically for Democrats. In some cases in New Jersey, you know, it was just a wipeout. So I hope that we'll be talking about that. People are paying attention to what's happening in the country. They see what's happening in Chicago. They see how much stuff costs when they go to the grocery store, and they do not like it. And they said so across the board in election after election across the country on Tuesday.
They did. And Mark, we also have this government shutdown, which is now, Trump and Sean Duffy have found a new way to turn the screws by canceling flights, across the board out of safety concerns. And the safety concerns are real. But the tactic, again, just screams that this is a shutdown they want, and they want to look for ways to apply maximum pain, hoping to get Democrats to cave. At least that's the way it looks from here. You're a lot closer to a very busy O'Hare Airport than I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that they're, this thing with the SNAP benefits, that's just kind of squeezing the poor and using the poor as leverage. I think there's a reason they're cutting down the number of flights, because, the last thing that they want is a air disaster, because yeah. that'll be on Trump, the Trump administration. I mean, people need to understand that this could be solved very quickly. All they'd have to do is sit down with the Democrats and discuss a rational way to continue some of the subsidies for ACA, for health insurance for poor and middle class people. And that's all it would take. And it wouldn't, and that wouldn't be a big cost to the government. I mean, geez, I mean, Trump just, is giving $40 billion to Argentina, for God's sake. So they could do it. They just don't want to give the Democrats any kind of thing that looks like a win. So for that reason, they're going to keep you from seeing your mama at Thanksgiving. They are trying to create this pain, hoping that people will blame the Democrats. But obviously, they're not blaming the Democrats. All the polls show they're blaming the Republicans.
No, the polls and the election results. And Jennifer, now everybody's looking to Thanksgiving coming up here in, 3 weeks? And, whether this is still going to be going on at that point. And again, if the Trump administration's been trying to inflict maximum pain to try to get Democrats to cave, I mean, I don't agree with it. I certainly see it as a strategy. But again, I don't know what they're saying in those Democratic cloakrooms, but I kind of feel like we've passed a tipping point, that there's no longer a point where Democrats will appear to have caved in. They see, well, we're in for a dime, in for a dollar. Or do you think that there's still a chance Democrats say, oh, you've all suffered enough, we'll cave into whatever Trump wants?
Well, after Tuesday's election results, it would be political malpractice to cave.
Yes.
mean, I think that, gives some wind to their sails. The voters, not just Democrats, across the board, the results say what we are not happy with this. And those health insurance premiums, people are getting that in their mailbox. A couple of my kids are on the ACA, and I can tell you just from personal experience what their rates have doubled. And I have another kid who's visiting me from Washington, D.C., and she's supposed to fly home on Sunday morning, and her flight just got canceled. So we are feeling all of it in this house, and I'm telling you, we're not happy about it.
No. And Jim, one last point about before we have to pause, and that deals with other court cases challenging aspects of the government shutdown or, cutting jobs, laying people off. And I understand at the Department of the Interior, the Trump administration has backed off plans to lay off something like 2,000 people through the National Park Service and everything else. And so, again, in court after court case after case, the administration's being told, you do have some powers, but they're not unlimited.
It is virtually unanimous across the board. Just last week, not this week, previous week, we had four different district judges around the country saying no on various things, including things like these 4,100 people that the administration through the Office of Management and Budget wanted to lay off. The judge there said, Federal District Court judge in San Francisco, no, you can't do it. It is unrelated, even logically, not just legally, to the shutdown. You don't fire people in the middle of a shutdown. You don't have any money, but that applies to everybody across the board. This continues on and on. One more small point about something else that happened just yesterday, which is a trial jury in Washington, D.C. acquitted the sandwich thrower.
Oh, yes.
And that's a small issue. But you know what? Those are 12 people looked at this evidence and said, we're not doing this. Once again, a small mandate, and also telling the Department of Justice, what are you doing here?
But,
what's going on?
But come on, don't miss the easy joke here that they're saying now Gene Pirro becomes the first lawyer who could not indict a ham sandwich.
Right. Oh,
old joke there, yes.
Beautiful.
Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, our Week in Review panel are with us here. And again, in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Forward podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, as you know, our question of the day has been, where do you get your cheese curds? Who makes the good ones? Both the fresh squeaky ones and the deep fried ones. Wait till we spring that on a couple of folks from Chicago coming up later in the segment. But first off, back to our panel, our Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, as well as journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze from the Chicago area. And for our journalists here, I would like to play a little soundbite. We played it a couple of days ago. This was part of a legislative hearing in Madison about the Republican bill that would just outright ban absentee ballot drop boxes, even though there's no evidence about that. And Lee Snodgrass, a Democratic representative from the Fox Valley, made mention of that in the committee hearing that, an Associated Press survey has found there's just no evidence, none whatsoever. But Republican Representative Lindy Brill of Sheboygan Falls took issue with what Representative Lee Snodgrass was talking about with that Associated Press report. So here's the exchange between Republican Lindy Brill of Sheboygan Falls and Lee Snodgrass, Democrat of Appleton.
Could you tell me your source on the 2020 municipalities that claimed that there were no fraud?
It's an Associated Press survey. You can find it, and I don't have my computer in front of me.
Then I don't know that I consider that a valid source.
Associated Press?
Yeah, I don't always see everything from the Associated Press being absolutely valid. But that might be where you and I find truth in different spots. This might be where we're finding facts in different locations.
I think that the issue is that I am basing my concern on this bill with the facts is that incidences of tampering of absentee ballot drop boxes is very minimal.
Based on the Associated Press.
Based on many things. I'm happy to provide you with a lot of sources after this.
I'm answering your question that you provided just now.
Great.
And then I would just like to say at the end of everything, I'd like to thank our president for leading the charge on this. He was the one who introduced this in the first place, and I'm thankful that I got to introduce in Wisconsin alongside him. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to talk about it because this is true election reform that our state needs.
I think that says everything.
Lee Snodgrass with the last line. I think that says everything. Again, Lindy Brill's words, that might be where you and I find truth in different spots.
Right.
This might be we're finding facts in different locations. No, Jennifer Scholze. No, no, no.
Nope. There aren't two sides to a lie.
No.
Nope.
And again, no. They want her to prove a negative. when, right. And I take no issue with Lee Snodgrass. She's a great lawmaker. I just simply would have said what we've been saying since November of 2020, Mark Jacob. No. You prove it. You prove the tampering. Just right. don't. You can't just say there was. Just like you can't say grocery prices are lower when they're not.
Right. No. That last comment. That comment reminded me of Kellyanne Conway's
alternative facts. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like. Well, you know, we've just invented our little, you know, facts that are true on Earth too. You know, it's a, and the idea that that everything is an opinion, that there's no such thing as a fact, is a scary thing that's eroding our democracy.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, a sign of authoritarianism is, you know, the facts are whatever we say they are. Jim, you know that bill was taken up in the legislature. Again, it's not going anywhere. They don't have the votes to override a veto from Governor Tony Evers. And yet here they are again, once again, trying to make the case that because absentee drop boxes weren't specifically mentioned in state law about elections, they therefore must be illegal, when that's not what the state Supreme Court said in its most recent decision about drop boxes.
Absolutely. Once again, whether you're introducing bills in the legislatures or you're running into court, we've got obviously judges in those courts, number one, saying that, again, this voting fraud that the president speaks about ad nauseum simply does not exist. And oh, by the way, again, when it comes to proving some of this, where is that evidence? Courts say that as well. Legislature should be saying that as well, as the tape that you just played underscored. There's just no there. And it underscores this point, which is even when you run into court, you know you're not going to win. You know your federal district court judges are not going to say, oh, my goodness, yeah, we've got to reform all of our voting systems. You're doing it to get the headline about the lawsuit being filed. It is the initiation of that. It's the messaging once again. Oh, my goodness, we've got to stop this. We don't care about the judgment in the end, about the fact that we will certainly fail in that effort.
All right. Let's check with the panel here on, well, we don't have time for the Nobel Peace Prize because it's already been handed out for this year. But FIFA, the international body that governs soccer, is coming up with its own new peace prize. Jennifer, am I reading that right? You can't, laugh through the whole setup.
I can't even. Oh, okay. I mean, the number of people who have coddled Donald Trump, the idea, the head of Apple walked into his office with a golden phone. And I mean, so we shouldn't be surprised that FIFA's got this golden, it's just,
But Mark, the question remains, will it go to Donald Trump, FIFA's first annual peace prize, or might it be Melania or somebody else that you're not giving it right to Trump? I don't know.
Mike Johnson, you never know.
Mike Johnson.
It is classic, you know, that so much energy has been spent on whether Trump gets his, peace prize, which obviously, he's sending attack jets to El Salvador, so they're closer to Venezuela. So I don't know about the peace prize, but the FIFA is a historically corrupt organization.
Yes.
Yep.
And the head of FIFA is a pal of Trump. So I wouldn't bet against him winning that next month.
And game respects game. Yep.
I think Stephen Miller wants in on this. I think he's the other competitor there in the West Wing. So this
maybe
is a race.
Maybe they'll share it.
This is a horse race, people.
This could be the thing that finally breaks up the group, you know, is who gets the peace prize from FIFA, a very up-and-up organization all the way around. You can hear Jim Santel coming up tomorrow morning from 9 until 11, Amicus, a law review across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can read Mark Jacobs' column at stopthepresses.news. And, of course, for Jennifer Schulze, Indistinct Chatter can be found on Substack at News Jennifer. Thank you to all of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Pat. Good weekend, everybody. Thanks, Pat.
Yep, good to see you all. When we come back, Matt Rothschild will be here from the Wisconsin Forward podcast. And a little later, Mike Clemens will be talking sports. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.